News, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. The presidential candidates are barely pausing to take a breath as they hit battleground states ahead of the election Tuesday, trying to pick up any possible undecided voters. Former President Donald Trump going to North Carolina twice today, but told a Milwaukee rally.
So get everyone you know, you have to do it. You have to vote, vote, vote. We're going to win this thing, and we're going to win it big, and I'd love to win it right here. I'd love it.
Democrat Kamala Harris.
We still have work to do, but here's the thing. We like hard work. Hard work is good work. Hard work is joyful work. And make no mistake, we will win. We will win.
CBS's Nicole Skanga on a fake video showing phony Haitian voters.
Georgia state election officials labeled the video as disinformation, calling it the likely work of a Russian troll farm. It was viewed hundreds of thousands of times on X before the platform ultimately removed it. Now, cybersecurity experts warn Russia's videos are designed to push America's hot-button issues and are growing in sophistication.
Now to the Middle East. Axios is reporting that the U.S. has warned Iran that it will not be able to restrain Israel if it is attacked again. This, as Lebanon says, it's investigating reports that one of its naval captains could have been abducted by Israeli forces. The BBC's Mike Thompson.
A team of more than 20 uniformed men were captured on CCTV, forcibly escorting a man down a darkened street in Batroun before departing in speedboats. The captured man is reported to be either a senior member of Hezbollah or a Lebanese naval official. Israel has not yet commented on the incident.
South Carolina executed a man yesterday despite pleas for mercy in the case. CBS's Linda Kenyon explains.
59-year-old Richard Moore died by injection despite appeals for clemency, including from the trial judge. Moore was convicted of the 1999 killing of a store clerk in Spartanburg. He testified he wrestled the clerk's gun from him following an argument that broke out because Moore was 12 cents short for his purchase. Among other things, his lawyers argued the trial was unfair because there were no African Americans on the jury. Moore was black.
A shark bit the leg off of a surfer in Maui yesterday. Police say the 61-year-old was alert when they arrived and tried to treat him, but his right leg was completely severed just below the knee. In Florida, a man is recovering after being bitten for the second time in a decade at the same beach. The 28-year-old says it happened in the same place where he was bitten while surfing at the age of 16. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Wisconsin's voter ID law can be a nightmare for college students. They can use their student ID, but only if it's compliant with state rules, and most aren't. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
On some campuses, students need to request a special ID that includes their photo, legal name, signature, issuing date, and expiration date. Kristen Hansen with Common Cause in Wisconsin works with college students to help them vote. She says state law just makes it difficult.
This is one of the things that is a mystery, is a school already knows this student is who they say they are. They've already provided identification to the school. And so the ID that the school gives should be enough without all this other nonsense attached to it.
Hansen says another challenge for students is providing proof of residency, as some can change addresses every year they're enrolled. Meanwhile, out-of-state students face additional hurdles in registering to vote. Molly Ford, an out-of-state senior at the University of Wisconsin at Madison, is very familiar with these hurdles. This is her first time voting in a presidential election, but she voted in the state's general election 2 years ago. She says she almost missed one of her class finals because she had to run back to her dorm to get a document after having already stood in line.
My friend that was in the class was like, "You're crazy. I would have just not done that." And I was like, well, it was important to me to vote in this election.
Ford says although her school has been proactive about promoting the student vote, it would be helpful to know more about what exactly is needed to cast a ballot. You can get that information online at myvote.wi.gov. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Central Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-50s. Tonight, a few showers, lows around 39. Rain likely for Sunday. It'll be windy with a high near 52. Showers and breezy Sunday night, lows in the mid-40s. For Monday, rain showers and 65.
Right now, it's 55.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Derek Mosley from the Lubar Center at Marquette University will be here to break down the latest polls, and we will wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Live on location, it's the Todd Allball Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allbaugh, along with Trigvi Olson of the Lincoln Project. We are in Green Bay, Wisconsin, at the home studios of WGBW. It is the 2nd of November. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. We are 3 days until Election Day. Trigvi Olson, welcome into this special edition of the show. Rarely do we, it's the first time we've ever done an actual show on a Saturday, but it's a big day, of course, a kind of a lead-in here, the first half hour. Some of our stations in Green Bay and in Richland Center and Racine, Kenosha, other places are going to break away at the bottom of the hour. Mike Keller and the entire crew have the Badger pregame show. And a reminder, you can listen to that pregame and the Badgers taking on Iowa, down in Iowa, a little bit later on this afternoon for free on the Civic Media app. You can download it. Simply go to your favorite app store, Apple, Android device, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media, and then it will take about a minute. It's free, like we say. Gail King calls it a real deal. So how about that? The Civic Media app, you can listen to the Badgers this afternoon. So I'll talk a little bit about the Badger game. Of course, the Packers play it right here in Green Bay. It will what could be a season-defining game against their arch-rival Detroit Lions in the NFC North. Could be talking in the Central North, whatever you want to call it, whether it's now or later on. But Mike Clemens, our sports reporter, is here. He's going to be talking a little Packer football as well. And guys, perhaps the best part of today, the second, you know what it is today? Want to take a guess?
What is it?
Mike, want to take a guess?
Just a couple of days from the election. I mean, now that's what's on everybody's mind, it seems like, yeah?
Today is my favorite night of the year because we turn back the clocks 1 hour.
Back.
And I finally get my hour of sleep back from the spring.
That's good. Well, you know, and today you're in Greece. Where have you been all week? You had a new city every day, right?
Well, yeah, Mike Clemens, our sports reporter here. Yeah, we started out in Madison, then went to Viroqua, Wisconsin. We did this show there, did a meet and greet in La Crosse, did the show at Osseo at the Norske Nook, did a meet and greet in Eau Claire, did the show in our studios at Wisconsin Rapids.
No, we weren't in the studios in Wisconsin Rapids. We were sitting outside in 40-degree weather. Thankfully, I had my electric vest, which I'll be wearing at Lambeau tomorrow as well. But yeah, Todd tried to freeze us to death.
Well, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and looked good.
We did a meet and greet in Stevens Point. Then yesterday, we did the show. Thanks to our great people here, Todd Michaels, the crew at Green Bay, relationship with the Appleton, Wisconsin, or I should say the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers.
Yeah,
and we did the show from the stadium.
So then tonight we fall back and get an extra hour of sleep, and then the game is until 3:25 tomorrow for the Packers, so you know that's a great way to.
There's lots of time to be playing craps at the Oneida Casino.
There is.
With my River Falls buddies.
There you go.
Just roll the dice and see.
There you go.
Mike, you're going to stick around for a second because we're going to turn to sports. Big game, big day for the Packers tomorrow here at Lambeau. And, of course, a big day today for the Wisconsin Badgers down in Iowa. What I think could be, again, a season-defining game. My personal feeling is they don't get a win today in Iowa. They could go on a four-game losing streak.
They could. And I've got some news regarding Jordan Love, so I'll have that for a couple of minutes, okay?
Ooh. That's what you call a teaser right there.
That is a teaser
from Mike Clemens. Right now, we're honored to be joined by another member of our civic media staff, the wonderful Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, joins us live via StreamYard. He is also our political editor. Dan, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. You had a great story. For those who don't subscribe, what the heck's wrong with you? First of all, subscribe to the Recombobulation Area and at Civic Media. You had a great story today on this part of our state politically, Green Bay and the Fox Valley. Tell folks a little bit the nuance, the thrust of this piece you wrote today.
Well, yeah, first, thanks for having me on, fellas. Always good to talk. And yeah, I spent some time a couple weeks ago in the Fox Valley and Green Bay. I think it is an incredibly important swing area in the state of Wisconsin. You know, I'm a UW Oshkosh graduate myself, so spent a lot of time in and around the region growing up there. But yeah, I got a chance to talk to a bunch of the candidates that were running for state assembly, state senate, up and down the Fox Valley and Green Bay. And I think, you know, people often talk about, you know, the political calculus in Wisconsin involving, you know, what's going on in the Wow counties or what's going on in the margins in Dane County or what's going on in kind of swingier, you know, the 2016 terminology of the Obama-Trump voters in western Wisconsin. I think sometimes the Fox Valley and Green Bay can get a little bit overlooked in that larger mix. And I think this could be the place that determines who wins up and down the ticket in Wisconsin for this presidential election, Senate election, state Senate, state legislature, all the way through. There's so many interesting races happening there. So I got a chance to talk with a lot of people who are really, you know, knocking doors, doing the work, and met some really terrific people. And I think it is, you know, so hopefully you folks will take the time to really sit with it and read it. This is kind of meant to be, you know, your long weekend read right before election day on Tuesday to really get a sense of what's changing in this, because I think it is in so many ways a microcosm of the kind of colliding political trends that we see in the state of Wisconsin, where rural areas are getting redder, you know, suburban and urban areas are getting bluer. But I think there's a lot of places that are right in the middle there in the Fox Valley. Some of these mid-sized cities, Neenah, Menasha, Appleton, Oshkosh, up and through the valley there, that have shifted towards Democrats incrementally, not some of the big shifts that we're seeing some other places, but election after election, race after race, we're seeing, you know, places like Appleton that voted, you know, maybe majority for Scott Walker in 2014, now like a 16-20 point Democratic advantage. So things these, you know, really matter at the end of the day in Wisconsin, where, you know, so many of our statewide races are decided by just, you know, a few thousand votes here and there.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. We spent a couple of days now in the Valley, now in Green Bay as well. Going to be here another day. We're going to the Packer game tomorrow. Cannot wait. We had Dr. Kristen Wiley, the Democratic nominee for U.S. Congress, the 8th year. That's certainly the big, sexy race on the ticket. But as Dan pointed out, there's a lot of down-ballot candidates. We met with a couple of them last night at Hinterland, along with Mike Murphy, by the way, was there. Mark Murphy, pardon me, was a lot of... Maybe Mike was there, too. But Mark Murphy
walked
there.
In with him.
We weren't actually together, but he walked in ahead of us. But a lot of these local candidates for assembly, Trigvi, to Dan's point, this could be a really exciting night come Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be, it may be an exciting night. I think it would be exciting. Some people probably less exciting. It's sort of like the game tomorrow. It depends on your perspective, how exciting it'll be afterwards, since we have both Lions fans and Packer fans in our group. But, you know, here's the thing, to Dan's point. Politics is a game of small numbers, and oftentimes the thing that people who watch politics versus those who do like what I do don't realize is it's incremental, right? Like a 5-point shift, you may go from losing 20, you know, by 20 points to losing by 15 in an area, and that actually is the margin you need to win across the whole thing. To Dan's point,
the Fox River Valley, particularly Green Bay County and the counties coming into it. You know, if you were to look at the state of Wisconsin, this race is in all likelihood going to be decided by the counties west of 94 from Madison up to St. Croix and across on Highway 29 to Green Bay. And the counties that touch that. Yeah. Well, what are the common denominators? A lot of them have, the bigger communities have public universities in them. That is going to have an impact down ballot. Dan also had in his stuff he's been putting out a really interesting factoid from the Marquette poll, which is Harris is running 3.5 points higher amongst college-educated males than Biden did. It's quite a bit higher. It's, what was it, 11, Dan, with women, college-educated women?
With college-educated women in Wisconsin, it's like a 36-point advantage.
Yeah, but I think it was 11 points. It was 11 Biden, points. Yeah. I think it's 11 points higher than Biden.
That sounds right.
That is a big deal, and those voters are, quite frankly, in places like Appleton and Green Bay because you have the colleges, St. Lawrence, and you have UWGB, and you know they're in Eau Claire County, La Crosse. It's going to be really interesting. If those hold, that's transformational if they stay Democratic down ballot because a lot of those people are conditioned to vote for Republicans, and the vast majority of Evers Johnson voters, quite frankly, in the last election were college-educated white people.
Dan Schaefer, in your research, looking at the numbers here, just in your gut from somebody who really knows this very, very well, what is the big takeaway from this part of the state? Is it the changing dynamics economically, the fact that some of these larger manufacturing places have closed down? What is the big change up here that could prove a shift politically on election night?
Yeah, I think it is. It does speak to kind of the changing economy in the region as well. And I got into that a little bit. In the piece, I think traditionally you think of the Fox Valley as it's the paper valley, right? There was a lot of paper manufacturers, paper mills up and through the valley. But I think what's interesting about this is that it has not shifted in a way that has made this like a hollowed out old factory town, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't so reliant on one place. So you have, I think, what's developing as a more diversified economy in the Fox Valley. You have more college graduates in the region with professional services and healthcare industry and a lot of the legacy manufacturers that are kind of adapting to a new world as well. So you not only have, you know, the long-term, you know, a lot of union history with a lot of those manufacturing jobs. And some of those have gone away. And I think you look back to when Trump did win in 2016, there was a big shift in that region towards Republicans. I think each of the Bow counties, Brown, Outagamie, and Winnebago, shifted towards Trump by like 8 to 10 point margins. Mm. But since then, it's been going the other direction. It's been incrementally shifting back towards Democrats throughout the Trump era. And I think the economy is part of that. And the economy that you're seeing, you know, a more diversified, successful economic region where, you know, that now the challenges are, you know, housing prices are getting a little bit too high because people are moving back to the region or staying there and not leaving after they graduate college, whatever it might be. So I think it kind of, you know, that it doesn't fit that stereotype that so many places in 2016 did, where it was, you know, these former manufacturing centers kind of grasping for a new way forward. I think there's a pretty successful diversification of the economy there. You know, some of the people I talked to in Green Bay like to point out that their unemployment right there is less than 1%. It's close to full employment in Green Bay. So there's a lot of indicators that things are going in a positive direction.
Dan
Obviously,
Schaefer,
still some challenges. But,
30
yeah.
seconds. What have I not asked you? What do people need to know about this race, particularly in the Fox Valley? 30 seconds.
Yeah, I think it's just, I always talk about the state legislature and in Green Bay in particular, that area, it's a clean slate. There's an open race in the state Senate, three open seat races in the state assembly seats that make up that state Senate district. You talked about Kristen Lierley's race, too. It's really a clean slate there. So up and down the ballot, people have new opportunities to vote for Democrats, vote for candidates that they may have not seen, had direct contact with before.
Dan Schaefer, the Recombobulation Area Civic Media's political editor. Thank you so much. We'll see you on election night, Dan. Stay tuned. Mike Clemens is next. Thank you, Dan. Perfect. Really appreciate the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Looks like those.
Town Hall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, a special Saturday edition. I feel like a print publication here, a special edition. We're glad to have you along live from our studios at WGBW 97.9 FM, the talk of Green Bay. Todd Michaels, Mino and the Mayor, Mark Becker, all the folks, Pete Schwabe, all the great folks that originate out of this studio. We appreciate you opening your home to us for this weekend. Trevi Olson, Senior Advisor at the Lincoln Project, here with me, going to talk education at the bottom of the hour. But right now, getting ready for some of our stations along the network, going to breakaway at the bottom of the hour for Mike Keller's pregame show on the Badger Radio Network. The Badgers taking on Iowa in a huge game this afternoon. A couple of final scores for you from college football. Our dreaded Minnesota Gophers, the Flexters, somehow beat the Burts of Illinois. Number 24, Illinois, falling to Minnesota 25-17 in a huge game in the Big Ten. It was Ohio State winning at Penn State 20-13, and Northwestern, it took overtime, Mike Clemens, our sports reporter, but in the game of who wanted to be last in the Big Ten, I guess, it was Northwestern pulling out a win over Purdue. Mike Clemens, our great sports reporter, thanks for taking time for us on a Saturday. What do you make of those early scores?
Well, a nice little win for the Ohio State over Penn State. I'm a little surprised by that. I tell you, that game last week, I was watching Mike Tressel's defense, the Badgers' defense, and I thought they did a pretty good job of sticking up because the Penn State offensive line is huge.
They are. I was at the game.
I mean, huge. Three of those guys are just monsters coming off the bus.
Yeah.
And but you know the Badgers did a good job rotating, you know, their defensive line in that game. In general, about this season, there was a key moment, Todd, about week three or four, and there was Luke Fickell on Monday, and I thought this was a very candid comment because he's talking about his offense and Phil Longo, and you know, you've lost Van Dyke at your quarterback, and all, and he said, you know, at the end of the day, we got to stop running four, five, six running backs in a game.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just, like, the light bulb went on. I mean, that's when they said, you know what, it's Taui Walker, and then the other guys fill in between that. But we've got to establish our one, our two, maybe a three. And there's just something about that. I mean, I was just even talking to some Packers about this week, like the right guard Sean Ryan, and how they got Josh Jacobs going last week against the Jaguars. There, I mean, and I even think about it back in high school football, you know, playing Madison West and East and those guys. It's just the running back, his first four, five, six, seven carries, it's pound for 2 or 3 yards, pound for 2 or 3 yards. And then the line gets into a sink. You wear down your opponent a little bit, and all of a sudden they're busting one for 38 yards on the outside.
Right.
And that's been the biggest shift change, I think, offensively for the Badgers in the last month, right?
Right, absolutely. Braden Locke, last year he got his big break down there in Iowa, coming off the bench. He cannot have a turnover today in order for the Badgers to have a real chance. Their big running back down there, Caleb Johnson, ran for over 1,100 yards this year, 16 touchdowns, averaging 8 yards a carry. He is a horse that the Wisconsin defense has to stop today.
And now France has got a different quarterback in there today, right?
Yes.
Brandon Sullivan kid, because McNamara got hurt last week, so they got it. But that kid's got a pretty good arm too, you know. So just what I saw from their highlights from before. But yeah, it this will be an interesting game. I think Iowa's favored by 3.
Yeah, I think so.
But the Heartland Trophy's on the line,
that's
boys.
Right, the Heartland Trophy. Come on. I'm taking the Badgers in this one, guys, by a field goal. We'll see if that works or not. Again, pregame show coming up at the bottom of the hour from some of our stations along the way. Mike Keller and the entire gang on the Badger Sports Network standing by. All right, Packers owner Trevi Olson joins us in this capacity. He's been waiting to get you on the set with us, Mike. Oh. Thanks for coming down. You were teasing earlier some late breaking news on Jordan Love.
Well, the thing is, everybody's been asking me all week, do you think he's going to play? And it's like, well, no, about 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon.
Correct.
Because that's when you've got to make your roster changes and if you're going to elevate guys. Mm-hmm. And so at 3 o'clock today, you got to tweet it out because I got that note here from Nate over at the Packers. They elevated a defensive back, Kamal Haddon. And it's like, oh, but see.
Clifford.
If Sean Clifford, there you go. Mm-hmm. From the practice squad, your QB3, if he gets elevated, that means, you know, we need him as a backup to Malik Willis. Well, he's going to remain. He's still got another elevation to go. So that means that Jordan is likely going to go for this game tomorrow. He's going to start. And I was out there at Thursday's practice, and we had this huge downpour Thursday, yeah. You know, in the middle of the day. I mean, it looked like a car wash out there. And Jordan's out there, first in the line, doing ball security, high-stepping, mm-hmm. You know, taking the ball. Coaches with, you know, boxing gloves, punching him. And then out there doing rollouts and throwing the ball. And it's like, this is a guy who looks like he wants to go.
Yeah.
And the groin injury, I found this interesting because I asked him about this at the end of our little huddle with him on Wednesday. I said, you know, he was a big high school basketball player. And then football. And any of us, if you did any high school sport, I was a catcher mm-hmm. in high school. You know, groin injuries are just come with the job, yeah. right?
Right?
He said, you know, I never had a groin, but I never had one this severe. That's for so. So that's why he was in such pain when he went down twice in the game against the Jaguars.
Yeah, I think how, you know, the Malik Willis part of the Packers season, right? A, it's a good story from a story standpoint. B, I just think, you know, you go on social media, Gutekunst just gets beat up all the time. And I guess it goes with the job, right? It's a little bit like being a campaign manager.
Every GM does. Every GM does,
yeah. Right, every GM does. It's every campaign manager right. does. That said, like, if you look at his whole arc, he hits more than he misses. And he has hit pretty big on stuff. Like, Malik Willis is that's a big deal that he pulled that off.
How about this draft?
I know.
Yeah. How about this draft? Right. Ron Wolf said if you can get three guys on the right. field, you know, by November, you had a pretty good draft. He's got six or seven out there.
And it's the second draft in a row. Look at Kraft, right? Like, look at what he came out of the previous draft with. Yeah. And it's not just, you know, high picks who are hitting. You know, he's hitting in the middle rounds.
One concern I've got is offensive line, and this started when last weekend in Jacksonville, Andre Dillard, your six-year NFL veteran, your former first-round pick for the Eagles and last year with the Titans, was a healthy scratch.
All right.
So it's like if Zach Tom at right tackle yeah. or Rashid Walker at left tackle, who banged up his knee in that game, who's going to be the next offensive tackle?
They've Jenkins.
Kadeem, well, I don't know.
Jenkins is a swing guy.
You know what? Josh Myers at center is doubtful. He's
yeah, that's true.
Really
yeah.
bad left wrist, and I think Elton Jenkins is going to be snapping the ball at Jordan Love tomorrow. So anyway, that's something to watch in terms of the depth at the offensive line because the Dillard, you know, in terms of a miss – that's a miss right now.
A little over 1 minute left, Mike Clemens, our sports reporter. What are the keys to this game in a huge, huge matchup with the Lions tomorrow?
I thought it would be a time of possession, keep the ball away from a hot Lions defense, and the Packers don't care. It's like analytics. Mm. They want to put the ball up, and they want to score. And if you have five drives, you score on three, you throw a pick on one, and you have a three and out the other, that's a good day for them. That's yeah. the way they think. So in terms of Josh Jacobs for 16 yards and 8 or 9 minute drives, that's just not in there. And keep your defense off the field. They don't care about it because you know what? The best unit the Packers have got right now is defense.
Yeah. I hope he's swinging it around like Lynn Dickey against the Redskins in 88,
yeah.
whatever it was.
Yeah, Monday Night Football.
Monday
yeah.
Night Football.
48, 47 or something?
You know, it's probably we don't have time, but I have a crazy story about the Tampa snowstorm game. So you know that Tampa snowstorm game?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was at the game in Baltimore with my daughters, and the guy standing next to us played for Tampa in that game, and I was in the stands.
Oh,
it was crazy. So we had such a good conversation.
Mike Clemens, any predictions?
I'll take the Packers by two, Todd.
Packers by two? You heard it here
Packers
first.
48-47 on a missed Lions kick at the end.
Come on. Thank you, Mike Clemens, for stopping by. We appreciate it so much. You can hear him all the time on the Civic Media Radio Network. We appreciate it. Mike, stay tuned. Some local education talk right here on a special Saturday edition of the All Ball Show.
on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Ron Day has become the NCAA's all-time career rushing leader.
This is your home for Wisconsin football.
Still loose. The Badgers cover it up. Touchdown, Wisconsin. There it is. And this game is underway with a bang. One more time. J.J. Watt. Touchdown, Wisconsin. Hello, Russell Wilson.
On Wisconsin.
70 yards, catch and run. Lee Evans, his fourth touchdown reception today.
Record-breaking run. Melvin Gordon, 4-0-8.
Picked off by T.J. Watt.
Badger football is on the air. Brought to you by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank is a proud partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. U.S. Bank. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC. And by UW Health Sports Medicine. Treating the Badgers. Treating you. Welcome to the Badger Pregame Show.
And welcome to Kinnick Stadium, high above the stadium floor. I'm Mike Heller. Matt LePay joins me in a moment. These two teams, they have a lot in common. Wisconsin and Iowa today for the 98th time. Once upon a time, Wisconsin lost 18 straight games in the rivalry. That ended in 1997. Once upon a time, not long ago, the Badgers were the best run-based offense in the Big Ten. That category is currently owned by Iowa. For a long time, this matchup was viewed as a rock fight. Maybe that hasn't changed. Time to visit with the voice of the Badgers, Matt LePay. They are different. We've talked about that earlier this week, you and I did, that the teams and the programs are deviating a little bit. But this game in the series has oftentimes been viewed as a rock fight. Can it be again?
Yeah, I think it can be because Iowa, even though Iowa is better on offense than it has been in recent years, it's still not a great offense. We know the Badgers have been up and down in that department. Both teams statistically are pretty similar defensively. This is a game you've got to figure if you could get into the mid-20s, you're feeling really good about it. We'll see. I think we've seen some really entertaining games. You know, you were asking earlier in the week. We're going back 14 years now, a 31-30 game. Don't think we're going to see 60-plus points combined, but I don't necessarily see it as being a 10-7 game either.
Without the conversation of a moral victory, did Wisconsin maybe take a step forward last week? Is that hard to view it that way?
I think for a lot of folks it probably is, because the result was what the result was. But I think big picture, slowly but surely, you know, when you can force five straight punts against an offense that was pretty good. Now, I know the Penn State offense didn't score today. It didn't score a touchdown today. Ohio State's defense is among the best. But I think defensively last week, Wisconsin hung in there as long as it could. It wore down in the fourth quarter. Offensively, Mike, it's still that matter of being able to be consistently good against better defenses. And Penn State's run defense was too much for Wisconsin, and the offensive line really struggled against the Nittany Lions defensive front, except for the one drive. But it's still a one-point game into the fourth quarter. Yeah. And even midway through the third before the pick six, you're thinking, this might be the night. So now you just want to see. A year ago, we saw a similar story against Ohio State, and they laid an egg in the last two games. Well, Iowa's a good enough team that if you don't play well, you're going to bust back home 5-4.
Let me play off last week just a little bit more. If you're going to beat a team like Penn State, one of the things Wisconsin has consistently not done, or rather, let me reverse that, one of the things they've consistently done is beat themselves. Last week, they dropped six passes. They had a penalty. I don't know if it's a penalty on the big kick return. They made enough mistakes along with the pick six. They did enough things to inflict self-harm.
Which is the real tough part of it. And it's hard, I think, for people to say, well, they're a lot better than they were last year. Well, the better teams we've seen at Wisconsin don't do that. Mm-hmm. You oftentimes hear that, well, you got to be perfect. Well, you're never going to be perfect, but if a ball is there to be caught catch it, even if it's not perfect. You've got to be able to help your quarterback. And with those drops last week, that gets you behind schedule. And yeah, there were way too many third and longs, the worst-case scenario against a Penn State team. Just, you'll make the other team beat you. And Wisconsin, the SC game was like that. Alabama just steamrolled them, and that was, you know, that was a pretty much a one-sided game. But if you're Wisconsin, the better teams that we've seen with the Badgers, they don't swing the door open the way Wisconsin did last week against Penn State. Good team, Penn State, but they could have been had.
I'll get back to this game in a minute, but I want to get your thoughts on the early window, that big Ohio State game at Penn State that ended up with the Buckeyes winning 20-13. There were a lot of critical moments in that game, plays that either went into the end zone or were near the end zone that flipped it, but certainly now it puts Ohio State in a driver's seat to get to a Big Ten title game, and Penn State's not in a bad spot either.
No, they're just the one loss, and you know, the schedule on paper looks favorable. The trip to Minnesota could be pretty tricky. You know, they got Purdue, they got Maryland, they host Washington. But you know, credit to Ohio State, because Penn State jumped on them. You know, 10-0. They get a field goal, they get a pick six against Will Howard, and yet at the half, Ohio State led. Felt like they could have led by more. There was that Will Howard fumble just short of the goal line. Ball rolls out of the end zone. But then Ohio State gets a pick in the end zone when Penn State's threatening to take the lead. But I just felt like Ohio State's defense just got the better of Penn State's offense in this game. Just the one touchdown for Penn State's offense today. That was a critical win for Ohio State with the one loss at Oregon. Now it puts itself in a position. Still got to get Indiana. You got to get Michigan. So they've got some, you know, hurdles to deal with. But that was a game I just felt like going in. All the other noise aside, Ohio State needed today's win more than Penn State.
Current window games, number one, Oregon leading at the Big House in Ann Arbor, 28-10. Trying to take any doubt out of that scenario. And Indiana, number 13 and still undefeated. They lead 23-10 at East Lansing against Michigan State. Now, Michigan State is not a great Michigan State team, but Indiana continues to surprise me as to how good they continue to be.
Yeah, that's one that I kept my eye on just looking at the schedule this week. I know Michigan State lost the rivalry game. You know, they had the skirmish at the end with Michigan.
Yeah.
But Michigan State handled Iowa a couple of weeks ago, and they've got, you know, they've got a quarterback who's dynamic, can do some things. So, and they jumped on Indiana in this game, but to see the Hoosiers now look like they're back in control, they're doing all that's been asked. It's going to be fascinating Tuesday when the first college football playoff rankings come out, because there still isn't that quote marquee win for Indiana, but it's been dominant every week. Actually fell behind in this game for the first time all year, but it's up 13 points right now. If they could keep that kind of a distance, you figure they're going to be in the top 12, just not sure where.
Let me get back to this game before we wrap, and Gary Dauphin will join us in the next segment. Caleb Johnson, he's obviously very good. I don't know if it's the same as facing Kyle Manungai as we did a few weeks ago at Rutgers. But in order to beat Iowa, you're going to likely have to slow. You can't stop him, but you could slow him.
Yeah, I think Johnson is more explosive.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the second leading rusher in all of college football right now. Because he's the kind of guy, we've seen this before, if it's college or the NFL, you could hold him to one, hold him to two, maybe a minus one. Then the next carry goes for 75.
Yeah.
That's what kind of happened in Northwestern last week. He's an Ohio kid from just north of Cincinnati. Luke Fickell's very familiar with him, so he knows how good that Caleb Johnson is. He's a big part of why Iowa is improved offensively. They're going to have Brendan Sullivan in at quarterback. Cade McNamara is out, listed as out for this game. Sullivan, like last week what we saw with Bo Pribula of Penn State, he can hurt you with his feet. So can Brendan Sullivan. It'll be something to watch.
And last thought from me on this, and you'll visit with Tausch later as we get closer to game time, but Braden Locke and his ability to pick himself up after moments that have not been his best. This is a week-long moment off of last week's game. What do you see from him?
Well, I think even last week after the pick six, he drove the team down the field, had a really, you know, it was a great catch by C.J. Williams, but he got him back down there to pull him within one. That is a strength of Locke's, is that he doesn't let one mistake drag him down. Now you just want to eliminate that mistake because there's a couple three throws every week where you're going, that's not probably what you wanted to do there. You know, if he could get to the point, it's kind of like, you know, maybe Jordan Love does the same thing, a little different level. I get that. But if Brayden can just cut back on the oh-no throws, then you've got a good quarterback. And kind of what we were talking about a couple minutes ago, you got a team that's going to make the other guys beat you rather than helping them out the way Wisconsin did last week.
Very good, Matt. Still to come, the Badgers pregame show. We'll check in on the Badgers and the NFL and visit with sideline reporter Patrick Kerb. Coming up next, we hear from the voice of the Hawkeyes, Gary Dolphin, who is standing right over Matt's shoulder right now as we continue Badger football from Learfield.
Odyssey Brands is a proud partner of UW Athletics and a supporter of our Wisconsin dairy farmers. We believe in using only the highest quality ingredients. Four generations of cheese-making excellence goes into every batch of our Odyssey Greek yogurt and feta cheese. Check us out at odysseybrands.com.
At U.S. Bank, when they say they're in it with you, they mean it. Not just for the good stuff, the grand openings and celebrations, although those are pretty great, but for all the hard work it took to get there, the fine-tuning of goals, the managing of cash and workflows and decision-making. They're in to help you through all of it. Because together they're proving day in and day out that there is nothing as powerful as the power of us. Visit usbank.com to get started today. Equal housing lender, member FDIC, copyright 2024 U.S. Bank.
We are experiencing an energy transformation. Wind and solar farms are being built. Coal is being phased out. But the wind doesn't always blow. The sun doesn't always shine. We need reliable energy available on demand. To keep our data centers, manufacturing plants, and homes all operating, natural gas electric generation is necessary for Wisconsin. It provides the bridge we need to a renewable energy future. Wisconsin Infrastructure Investment Now asks you to support natural gas.
Hi, it's Matt LePay, voice of the Badgers. On the field, the Badgers are always on the move. Off the field, that's where Evans Transportation comes in. As Wisconsin's 3PL, they move over 30,000 shipments a year right here in the Badger State. That's dedication to keep things moving here in Scotty. Evans is excited to support Badger student-athletes and is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Find them at evanstrans.com. That's evanstrans.com. Go Badgers! Odyssey Brands is a proud partner of UW Athletics and a supporter of our Wisconsin dairy farmers. We believe in using only the highest quality ingredients. Four generations of cheese-making excellence goes into every batch of our Odyssey Greek yogurt and feta cheese. Check us out at odysseybrands.com.
Badger football is on the air.
And the Badgers defense puts a touchdown on the board.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
By the Badgers.
The Badgers play here. Tune in to every game for Wisconsin football right here.
Wisconsin Badgers football brought to you on WFHR by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Incorporated, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen all season long on 97.5 WFHR or streaming live on the Civic Media app.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Back with you at Kinnick Stadium, I'm Mike Heller. UW Athletics proud to recognize the official products of Camp Randall Stadium, Brew Pub, Lots of Matzah Pizza, Old Dutch Potato Chips, and Pepsi on Wisconsin. Wisconsin and Iowa, so many similarities historically. If some of the stylistic common ground is fading with Wisconsin's offensive style, still much remains the same. Both teams are 5-3, 3-2 in the league. Rushing offense, Iowa is tops in the Big Ten. Wisconsin is sixth. Iowa's Caleb Johnson is the second leading rusher in the nation. 1,144 yards on the ground. Averages 7.8 yards per carry. 16 rushing touchdowns in Big Ten play. Johnson has 10 TDs, while the Badgers' Tawi Walker has 9. In the series, the Hawkeyes have won consecutive games for the first time since 08-09 and consecutive games in Iowa City. The Badgers haven't won in Kinnick Stadium since 2018, and we welcome in Gary Dolphin. I was asking Matt LePay about this yesterday on my statewide radio show. in this series, which game stands out to him? I think your answer will be different. His answer was the 2010 game down here, 31-30 Wisconsin, with a pair of ranked teams, both in the top 15 at the time. If you think on the history, what jumps out to you?
Was that the fake punt?
It was the fake punt. Yes, it was.
With Bielema. And who was it? Was it Monte Ball?
Monte Ball had heck of a day.
I remember that one vividly. Not as my favorite memory, correct, certainly. But, you know, I'd have to say it was the Badgers drove the field with no timeouts. And I think Chad Greenway batted a would-be touchdown pass away in the end zone in Camper. Was that Barry's last game?
Shoot.
It might have been Barry Alvarez's last game because they had a ceremony for Coach after the game. I think that was the game that sticks out for me because it's hard to win in Camp Randall.
Yeah.
Down here, I remember Sean Green running for, 200 and some yards and three touchdowns his senior year. You know, there's, Mike, to your point, I think the bigger picture is there's so many great memories with Iowa, Wisconsin. Back to Ron Vanderkellen's days in the 60s. And most border battles, most state border battles are that way. And that's why it's now a trophy game. This is the 20th anniversary of the Heartland Bowl. That's hard to believe that big old steer has been around for 20 years. But, you know, with Minnesota, you've got Floyd Rosedale. You've got the Heroes Trophy with Nebraska. And I think that is the Big Ten. You know, it's the oldest conference in America. So many great hardware trophy games among Big Ten opponents, typically border rivals. So those would be a couple of my favorite memories if you're a Hawkeye fan.
Del, for a lot of years, for a very long time, every time we would have this conversation, these teams are mirror images of one another by identity, knowing who they are and how to be who they are. Now, some Wisconsin fans are wondering about the identity. Mainly it's based because they call this an air raid offense, even though it really isn't. They still concentrate on the run game. They just do it out of the shotgun. What do you see? Are the similarities beginning to divide, or do you still see more in common than unlike one another?
I still see more in common. The formations may look different, but, you know, you mentioned Tui Walker having a great year, 10 touchdowns and 650 yards in limited action after Chesma Lucy decided to hang it up for this year, and all the best to him. With Iowa, nobody saw this coming from Caleb Johnson. I mean, he's been a solid back for a couple years, but nobody saw this bust-open year for him to where he's drawing Heisman votes from around the country, or at least a Heisman look. But the key there is the Iowa offensive line is intact, and it's the healthiest it's been in 3 years. And that now, Bo Stevens is back tonight, or is supposed to be back tonight at left guard. He's missed 2 weeks, but Tyler Ellsbury's been hanging around for 3 years. He's jumping in there. So the offensive line has really been the key. Iowa still lives off that zone, inside zone, outside zone stretch run, because their issues have been at quarterback. I know Wisconsin's had their issues, but Iowa's really had some problems. Cade McNamara now with a concussion, both ACL repairs the last 2 or 3 years. He's just never been able to be healthy. But Brendan Sullivan, I liked him at Wrigley Field last year against the Hawks. He's really helped him, but they don't have much after Brendan, so hopefully he can stay healthy. But it still comes down to defense for both teams and great running games, in my view.
Well, Gary Duffin, let's talk about that then. This matchup in particular tonight, what have you seen as you've gotten ready to call this one on the Iowa side?
I like Wisconsin's receivers. I mean, they're really good, and you know, Iowa has had some trouble getting in the backfield this year. They're blitzing more than we're used to seeing Iowa blitz. But Phil Parker's trying to get to the quarterback, but that has been an issue for our defensive front. Now we're thin at D tackle. The ends are very serviceable, but they're not Joe Evans and some of the other great DNs Iowa's had, sack masters in the past. So they got to force Braden hopefully into some mistakes. They are plus 8 in turnovers, so that has trended nicely. But Wisconsin, I fully expect historically Wisconsin has blitzed a lot. The Iowa quarterback, now they got to take a second look at Sullivan because his strength is his feet.
Yeah,
he can avoid pressure. But to me, I still think it comes down to turnovers. and special teams. Mike, special teams, as you know, has played large. You mentioned that 31-30 game, the fake punt. Caden Wiegand's the Big Ten special teams player of the week for his 85-yard punt return. I think it comes down to a defensive play and special teams.
Yeah, it's been a long time since Iowa has not had a dangerous kick returner. Right, I mean, that's been one of the strengths of this program is it's hard to kick it to him. And a year ago, I believe your punter is now punting in the NFL.
Torrey Taylor.
Maybe the difference maker in the matchup in Madison
because
he was dominant.
Field position. It was the same situation last week, Mike, with Northwestern. Reese Dakin, who's a pure freshman from Torrey Taylor's home area down under, had, I think, eight punts, half of them inside the 20, two of those inside the 10. Northwestern just could never get out of their own end. Hawks got a safety off one of those punts. So that type of game, both teams have piled up sacks and tackles for loss. Look for more of the same tonight.
Should be fun. Gary, it's always good to visit with you. Thanks for coming next door.
You bet, Mike.
Appreciate
it. Great to see you guys.
Coming up, we will check on our Badgers in the NFL and take a look around the Big Ten. This is Badger football from Learfield.
Hey, Badger fans, it's Tyler Van Dyke, quarterback for Wisconsin football. Join us in taking the Badgers to the next level. With a Camp Randall Club membership, you can help us achieve greatness on and off the field. In return, you'll get exclusive experiences, inside access, and opportunities to connect with student athletes like never before. Camp Randall Club has its vision set on victory. Do you? Visit CampRandallClub.com today to join.
Rosen is caught. Touchdown, Wisconsin!
Finding the right gift is getting tougher than ever. And who's got the time? That's why more people are shopping online every year. But where do you start? How about the taste of the holidays? Usinger's famous sausage. If you've ever received a Usinger gift box, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They ship anywhere in the continental U.S., and they come in a variety of prices and styles. Go ahead, be a holiday hero, the one who sends the perfect gift. Visit Usinger.com. That's Usinger.com or Google Milwaukee's famous sausage.
They've been rocking audiences for decades. It's Foghat. Performing live November 30th at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells.
I just want to make...
With special guest, The Empty Pockets. Tickets are on sale now through Ticketmaster. Legendary rock band Foghat. Live in concert November 30th at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Your odds are better here.
Must be 21 to attend concert.
FS Envision Seed Corn and FS High Soy Soybeans provide best-in-class traits and genetics that perform. In farming, bushels matter to your bottom line. Our field-proven products deliver high yields year after year. Get the seed you need from the people you trust. Contact your local FS Envision and High Soy retailer or visit fsseed.com to learn more.
This is Badger football.
Tight pocket. Down he goes. Inside the 40-yard line.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
We visited Alexandria, Minnesota a few summers ago. Great time. Lakes, fishing, all that. But this year, for the holidays, we wanted a winter vacation that was just as memorable, just as family-friendly, but with lights and snow, and this time, with our grandkids in tow. This holiday, it's Alexandria again. We're coming back to make new memories.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
The Badgers.
Beats Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Fades,
flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
The Badgers and the Iowa Hawkeyes will kick off tonight just after 6:30 from Kinnick Stadium. Looking at the temperature and as we go through the evening what we're going to have, but it appears rain begins sometime after 9 o'clock, so very late in the game if indeed that happens. Winds out of the east-southeast at 7 miles an hour, so not a big deal there in temperatures. dropping through the low 50s. So it's a very good weather night. Maybe some rain late in this one. The Badgers and Hawkeyes just after 6:30. Time now for our Minute with Mac, presented by Evans Transportation. Customized logistics solutions to keep your business moving. Here's Matt LePay.
Our Minute with Mac, presented by Evans Transportation. Customized logistics solutions, no matter the shipment size. We visit with Athletics Director Chris McIntosh. Left tackle Chris McIntosh knows all about these rivalry games with the Iowa Hawkeyes. 1998 was a sweet memory, as was 1999. But these are the kind of games, outside looking in, Mac, it's a, this is old school. They know what the Badgers do. Badgers know what Iowa does. There's something about that, though, that makes it extra fun, doesn't it?
It is. It's, you know, traditionally a very physical game. It's over time been a field position game, turnover kind of game that springs it. But it's a game that, you know, if you're on either of those sidelines, you kind of circle on the schedule because it's got so much history and meaning to it. And, you know, historically the brands of football have been so similar, and it's one you look forward to. And it's usually one that doesn't have a lot of glitz or dazzle, but it's one that, you know, there's bumps and bruises and a lot of black and blue afterwards, and it's been a lot of fun to play in over the years.
Much like Camp Randall, Kinnick Stadium is known for being really, really loud. Now, I guess I referred to the 98 game. You guys won 31-0, so I guess it wasn't that loud, but it can be. You've got that feel. You've been there as an AD, as an associate AD. You know how loud this place can be.
Yeah, it's a very tough place to play, and, you know, I was on the short end of one of those games at Kinnick, and you know, a primetime game, and that place will be cranked up. So it's a very tough place to play. The fans are very close to the sidelines. There's not a lot of sideline there, and it's a very just raucous place to play. It's a great environment to go into. It's an even better one to come out with a win.
All right. That is Athletics Director Chris McIntosh, and that is this week's Minute with Mac.
All right, thank you, Matt. By the way, UW Athletics proud to recognize the official products of Camp Randall Stadium back there in a couple of weeks. Brew Pub, lots of matzo pizza, Old Dutch potato chips, and Pepsi on Wisconsin. Let's pause 10 seconds now for a station identification, 10 for an ID. This is Badger Football from Learfield.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
And when our pregame show continues, we'll check on Badgers in the NFL as they get to the midway point of their season. That's brought to you by Cunis Auto RV Group. That, our Badgers in the NFL segment. In a moment, this is Badger Football from Learfield.
At Jones Dairy Farm, we make versatile, convenient, and all-natural sausage you can feel good feeding your family. I'm Lisa Karras, seventh-generation family member and Jones Marketing Director, and I'm also a mom, and I'm proud of our products. They go so well in so many recipes and heat up fast, which is helpful when you're juggling little ones. Plus, many of our ingredients are locally sourced, and we don't use any artificial ingredients in our sausage, which is why you'll find it in the freezer aisle. Jones, making breakfast better since 1889, and a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Go Badgers!
On the football field, the skilled players get paid the most. The same is true in construction. Some of the most skilled players building our roads, solar farms, and stadiums are the men and women of the Wisconsin Operating Engineers. If you're ready to step up to a job where you can earn more without college debt and operate equipment like cranes, excavators, bulldozers, and drones, you're ready to join our team today at join139.com.
Every Qdoba catering order is a fresh-made Mexican feast of hand-smashed, flame-grilled, sliced, diced, and sautéed flavors perfect for any occasion. Whether you're planning your office's tortilla Tuesday, hosting a post-game party for your intramural dodgeball team, or trying to bring in a dinner for your PTA meeting that's so good, it'll bump your kid up to an A- in Spanish class. Qdoba Catering. Fresh, hot, easy, delicious. Order today.
Hey Badger fans, the 2024 football season is here, and SeatGeek is here to help you experience all the action. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the touchdown celebrations this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin football games or to any other live event in your area,